I want to read from Romans chapter 5. And we're going to be going through several scriptures as we do this tonight. And Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, I'm going to read to begin with. And I really, what Russell shared this morning kind of fits in with what we're talking about, in that really he was emphasizing to us God's sovereignty. And indeed, if God is not sovereign, if God is not powerful, then anything that we would consider or hope or seek to do for God's glory, we cannot succeed in. But let's look to God's word. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have been justified his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. And I'll stop there. When Paul wrote in the first chapter of Romans, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. We're going to look at some multiple passages quickly, but I want us to think together about something. I want us to consider, what is the significance of being a child of God? Does it matter? Does it matter not just in terms of what we do here tonight and what we do when we come together as believers? Does it matter in terms of how you live your life and how every aspect of your life goes? What is the significance? Why is it that we everybody in this room tonight professes to be a child of God? That's what happens on Sunday night. Those folks are the ones that show up, right? So what is the significance of the, what is the real effect of the reality of being saved by the living God? Is it just an event that we look back to, something we did in the past? We walked down the aisle, we met with a session, and we answered some questions, and we said, yes, I do, whatever the affirmative we needed. But is it more than that? One of my favorite passages, and Eric has used this quote from the great Christian author C.S. Lewis a number of times, and you've all heard it, but it's one of my favorite quotes from C.S. Lewis. And C.S. Lewis is speaking about the passion and the joy of grasping what the significance of being a follower of Christ is all about. Listen to what he said. He said, "Indeed, if we consider the unblushing promises of rewards and the staggering rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink and sex and ambitions when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are too easily pleased." You see, and C.S. Lewis said, it is that we have this trace, if you will, of Eden that is in us all. It's like there is this faint remembrance of what it's truly like to be in the presence of the living God, to live with and walk with God. And so there's this undeniable yearning that we can't articulate or explain as human beings, and we find it in human beings all around this globe, whether they're in Meridian, Mississippi, and Bailey, or they're in Kabul, Afghanistan, this yearning for something they need and want desperately, even if they can't speak it and explain it. And it's not supposed to be suppressed. It's not supposed to be pushed back and pushed down, but it's to be fully spent on God. So our praise and our worship is to be rooted and motivated in the happiness that we find in God. All of our enjoyment should overflow into praise for God, praise that expresses itself and is completed in our enjoyment, that every good thing in your life is there because it is a gift from God. My wife and I had a great time with old friends this weekend. That was a gift from God. Every good thing, every joy, we will often say, we do everything as unto the Lord. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that every single thing we do, that we're called to enjoy it and do it because we recognize God's all-powerful, and if it's in our lives, it's because He's given it, He's provided it. All of our enjoyment should overflow to the praise of God. Praise exposes itself and it completes our enjoyment. Praising God is the highest calling of humanity, and guess what? It's our eternal vocation. No matter what we may be doing now, our eternal vocation will be praising and honoring and glorifying our Heavenly Father. It's the consummation of joy that we find in God. And that's what I'm getting at. That's the significance of being a child of God. God is glorified not only by His glory being seen, but being enjoyed. When those who see God's glory, get a glimpse of it, when we delight in it, God is glorified. Let me read a few Psalms. Psalm 121, just a few verses. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." Psalm 37, verse 4, "Delight in the Lord, and He will give you the delights of your heart." Psalm 36, verse 7, "How precious is your steadfast love of God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadows of your wings. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light." Psalm 25, verse 4, "Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths." Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. Psalm 84, verse 10. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to lasting, you are God. What Russell talked about this morning. One thing that doesn't change, God is God. He has always been God. He will always be God. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. As we think about the significance of being a child of God, what really has taken place, what really has occurred that has brought you and me into the family of God. And Paul writes, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person, which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us of God. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, hear God's word. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Did you hear that? Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Jesus is coming back, and he's bringing that completed salvation that has been begun in you. And then he goes on, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Will our faith be found to result in the praise and glory and honor of Jesus Christ? Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Dear ones, what does the gospel do for us? Through it, by faith, we are justified, right? We are adopted as children of the living God. And yes, we're all being sanctified and changed day by day by God's Holy Spirit. He's working in us. And we're being made more and more like our Savior. Now, we all know some days and weeks it's two steps forward and one step back, or one step forward and two steps back usually. But God is at work in us, changing us from the inside out. Tonight, if Jesus is indeed our Lord and Savior. Like David, you remember when David fled from Saul? And in Psalm 57, we find his words, and he cried out to God. He said, "Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadows of your wings I will take refuge." And I think that is our prayer and continues to be our prayer. It has to be every day. God, I take refuge in you because I have no other place to go. I have no other hope except the refuge that I have in Jesus. It doesn't matter if we're in the deep valleys or on the high mountains of our lives. God is God, and everything we face as a child of the living God should ultimately bring us to give Him honor and Him glory and Him praise for who He is and what He has done. Let's close with the words of Hebrews chapter 13. Let's pray. "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen."